I want to ask you about something that happened last week in the Portland game where they went super small during that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And I guess, especially with Rudy, when a wing's guarding Rudy, what do you want him to do in that situation?
Well, we one of the things when teams do go small, and really Houston did it to Portland up in Portland, and they put Harden immediately on Aldridge. And it's an interesting kind of decision process is whether or not you want to post Aldridge and immediately create a double team, because that's what they were doing. And now they're playing, you know, they're playing in rotations, but they're quick. And you know, Rudy is not Aldridge, so I don't think we're going to just shift everything and say, hey, we're going to post Rudy. But at the same time, you want to take advantage of the fact that Rudy's got a smaller guy on him. One of the obvious things is, you know, usually in that situation, people are switching pick and roll. So if he is involved in pick and roll to get him out to the rim right away, and he can become a really effective offensive rebounder. The other thing, depending on, you know, if it's a wing on him and they're switching 1 through 5, you know, a lot of times it'll be one big on him, you know, and they won't be switching that one role. So in which case, he really what he's doing doesn't change that much from what we normally do, but he's not at a point where we're going to just go to him as a centerpiece in the offense and post a mismatch. Really, we rarely do that. Anyway, I mean, we'll do it. It's just more subtle. You know, you'll all of a sudden see Fave got the ball on the block, but it isn't like walk the ball up, you know, fist up. And, but we've done it. You know, we've done it a lot more recently because Derek's been successful against the double team. And that's kind of really where it gets down to, is if we're able to do that and knowing they're going to double and then react to the double team, that mismatch basketball can become more effective.
Do you just try to start the play with sets, getting that double team in the post and then run stuff?
Well, you could. You could. I mean, if we just play in flow, there's ways that our guys know that they can get the ball in the post. Just on a quick swing and a duck in where – even better, you get it before the defense is set, before they can double team. You know, quick early pick and roll before the defense is set. I mean, that's really what we've done the most of with Joe at the four, is we've just gone early pick and roll, and then we've done some what we call bull action, like the double high, which again turns into four around one. Four around one in those situations is usually effective because they can't help, because the ball's in the middle of the floor and everybody's spaced. If you have shooters that are spaced, right? So that's usually the, you know, the general emphasis that's going on.
You've done that.
You've gone small, pretty significantly the last two games with Joe at the four and Trevor at the four. I mean, I know a lot of that was need-based because of Derek being out. But, I mean, what's been your assessment of?
Well, really, when we first committed, I thought about it during the course of the year. I think there's a difference between going small and playing with the shooting big. So, for example, early in the year, we could play shooting big with Steve Novak. Because we had Steve, Ennis, Book, Rudy, and Fave, we have five bigs that our ability, if we were going to go small, it's going to give us, it's going to push us even further with those bigs. We were playing, we had depth in there, and we were largely playing big, which was what we wanted to do anyway. But when Steve and Ennis were traded, now we're looking at, you know, Jeremy hadn't played much, we're looking at Book, Fave, and Rudy. And then obviously you take Fave out of that picture, and we've got Jeremy or small. So the Portland game was the first game where I felt like I really wanted to go small, and we went small consciously in the second quarter. Because I thought we may want to play the lineup at the end of the game, and I didn't want that to be the first time that we'd run it. And really it was a response to the fact that we thought we were going to see Ariza at the four and Jones at the five and Brewer, which is what they've been doing. So from that point, I liked it. It's just something you got to keep working on. Gordon gets hurt. You know, Rodney gets hurt. It's harder to do it. Those guys come back. Fave's out. It's easier to do it. So a lot of it's been personnel-based, but I think it's a way to play the game that can be effective. It's like having a, you know, another offense, really. You get two bigs, you get a big and a shooting big, you're small. It's like three really different lineups, different styles of attack.
with all the different injuries that you have had recently, what does it tell you about this team of guys being able to step up in different situations?
It speaks a lot, I think, to their how connected they are right now. They can find ways to help each other without having the continuity. Obviously, in our first year, everything's new anyway. So to see that, it puts even more importance on their communication, which last night was really good. When they're focused like that, you know, it's good to see. It's kind of the fiber of what you want to see your team have.
You got some good payback against the T-Wolves last night, obviously. Mm-hmm. What do you need to do tomorrow night to kind of do the same thing against Denver, a team that you lost to recently?
Well, I think, you know, we didn't play well defensively against Denver. We didn't play well defensively against Minnesota. I think as much as anything, just our team continuing to do the things that we can control. And more individual accountability against Denver. We're just getting beat off the dribble. We're, you know, no matter how good your help is and no matter how connected and how much you talk, if you know, guys are just going by you, it's hard to give help. So I think collectively we just need a more focused approach, and individually need to be more determined, you know, more focused on the ball.
You got 8 games left in the season. Other than winning as much as you can, is there anything else you try to accomplish or focus on these last 8 games?
Oh, I think a lot of, you know, just consistency with the things that we are doing is the primary thing, and continue to kind of hammer out the identity that we're trying to build. And regardless of where we end up, wins and losses, just I think to continue, every game we do that is a game that reinforces it. You know, every game we don't, it kind of, it's a game that we can't, don't move forward. We don't lay another, you know, layer of paint on that identity. So that was what me was good about last night, was that we did it for the majority of the OKC game, but there was so much emotion in that game. Sometimes that can focus you. In this case, there wasn't all the external stuff that would pull you together, and our guys played that way regardless. Probably played better defense last night than we have in a while.
How has Alec helped you and helped this team since he's gone out for the season?
Well, I think he's helping himself. You know, even sitting behind the bench, he's got a lot of dialogue with Johnny, Coach Bryant during the game. He's been very, you know, meticulous about how he started to kind of form shoot, with the shoulder being, you know, what it is, to just make sure he's balanced. And I think he's had a chance to kind of study the game. When you're away from it and you're hungry to get back to it, one of the ways that you can touch it is to watch it and think about it and study it more as a, not just as a fan or an interested party. And, hey, he got dunked on, but you know, he got beat back door, he's not shifted enough, like all the things that are going to be important. He's in film sessions, he gets called on, you know, I'm on him as much as I can be. So he's here today. We moved his PT appointment so he could be at film. So,
how much is on the defensive end length important for you guys? Obviously, your preferred starting lineup is very long. Is mm-hmm. that a big key in your mind to yours?
I think it's important. You know, I think the length. I'm a big believer in us shifting and showing crowds and trying to, you know, let people see bodies. So, you know, you can move bodies further over. In some cases, if you hold your arms up, you accomplish the same thing. So, you know, I think it's important on closeouts and contesting shots. It just can be a deterrent when you have length, and especially in pick and roll, when you're trying to chase guys down from behind, those late rear contests, where that length kind of makes people, you can feel you back there a little bit more.
When you play Trey or Bryce, and you know those guys obviously don't have that size, do you change how aggressive your defense is when you know you do have that difference on the floor?
No, I think they need to be. I think there's probably an adjustment based on just the same way you would adjust based on personnel. If there's a guy that's a great shooter, maybe you wouldn't shift as far off him. I think in Trey's case, you know, he has to anticipate, you know, even more. And just factor all that in. But the thing about Trey is actually Trey's not as tall. Trey's got great length. So, I mean, getting him to kind of see himself that way, instead of, you know, kind of, I'm just here, like, no, if you're long and out, you can really, and sometimes length is better than height, because it's harder for your mind to factor it in. You know, you're used to a guy measuring this, and all of a sudden it's like that. It takes a little time. I think it's why guys, you know, like Rudy, it's not just being tall, but that extra length, you know, it takes people a while to calibrate that. I think that's something, you know, deflections, things like that, that Trey can continue to do that will help him.